Disrupt and push back against capitalism and white supremacy by connecting to the liberating power of rest, daydreaming, and naps as a foundation for healing and justice. Trisha Hershey, and the founder and creator of the Nap Ministry, encourages us to elevate rest as a form of resistance and a divine human right. Introduction. I wish you rest today. I wish you a deep knowing that way of living. You are enough. You can rest. You must resist anything that doesn't center your divinity as a human being. You are worthy of care. I want this book to be a prayer, a field guide for the rest resistance, a document to be engaged with on the ground as we all navigate the reality of capitalism and white supremacy, robbing us of our bodies, our leisure, and our dream space. A blessing whispered over your body and around your head. An embodied pilgrimage towards rest. Let this be a testimony to our collective survival and our present and future thriving. You don't belong on the grind. Get off the violent cycle. It is burning down because we torched it. Grind culture can't have you. Imagine a world without oppression. Take more time here. Visualize softness. Breathe deep. Envision a world centered in justice. Stay here. Welcome to your dream space, a download, a daydream. Stay here. Stay in rest. Stay in the dream space. Our collective rest will save us. You are enough. Our dreams are enough. This is imagination work. A portal opens when we slow down. You can rest. I'm dreaming of a world that includes justice for all those sleep-deprived, exhausted, and caught up in the hustle and shenanigans of white supremacy and capitalism. May we have space to navigate our lives from a liberated rest state. May all our culture slow down. May we rest together. I believe our entire culture is sleep deprived and exhausted. So if you are holding this book, I'm rejoicing because this book hopes to be a battle cry, a guidebook, a field guide, a pillow, and a map for the Rest is Resistance movement. A manifesto for the weary and hopeful, an imagination tool. People are waking up. People are waking up. People are waking up to the truth of their manipulation under toxic systems. People are waking up to heal. People are waking up to rest. We no longer be a martyr for grind culture. Grind culture is a collaboration between white supremacy and capitalism. It views our divine bodies as machines. Our worth is not connected to how much we produce. Another way is possible. Our shared history is one of extreme disconnection and denial. We ignore our bodies' needs to rest, and in doing so, we lose touch with spirit. In our bodies, we have our temples. It is the only thing we own. Our bodies are a tool agent for change, a site of liberation. Our bodies know the time to rest is now. Our collective rest will change the world because our rest resides in a spirit of refusal and disruption. Rest is our protest. Rest is reparations. I remain grateful for the mystery of the unknown, experimentation, and the constant demand for liberation, no matter what the systems have told us. Grateful for our divinity that we can tap into no matter what we are living through. Grateful for the metaphysical, the telepathic, and the deep knowing that our worth is not connected to how much we labor. This rest message is a message of power over oppression. Rest is balm. We will rest. Tenets of the NAP ministry. Number one, rest is a form of resistance because it disrupts and pushes back against capitalism and white supremacy. Number two, our bodies are a site of liberation. Number three, NAPs provide a portal to imagine, invent, and heal. Number four, our dream space has been stolen and we want it back. We will reclaim it via rest. The above tenets came to me in a dream over the course of a few months when I began to search for ease by resting. Each one revealed and unlocked massive healing in my own consciousness and a profound connection to the ways grind culture weakens our love of self and community. When I wrote these tenets onto paper for the first time, I scribbled them into a composition notebook to ground my personal rest experimentation. I wanted to meditate on each one to make sense of what was happening in my spirit as I reclaimed my time from the powers that be. Tenet one, rest is a form of resistance because it disrupts and pushes back against capitalism and white supremacy. The first tenet became a soft bell in my ear. It became my secret battle cry as I took to my bed or my couch to deepen into my connection with my ancestors, to rest for them, to save my own life. Each time I arose from a rest moment, things felt different. I looked different. My thinking was different. Things that I couldn't work out while awake made sense after a nap. I had a dream that included my grandmother, Aura, holding my hand and walking through a field of grass, the sun shining brightly on our faces. We didn't walk for long, and suddenly she was gesturing me to make the field my bed. As I released her hand, I slowly laid in the grass, and she laid right next to me. We were laying face to face, staring at each other intently. She was tracing my entire face with her eyes, and I was doing the same. The feeling of awe and wonder filled me, and I felt so safe, warm, and protected. I woke up from the dream with the widest smile. I didn't want it to end. The systems have manipulated and socialized us so that we stay exhausted. We can remain stuck in a never-ending cycle of trauma. If we are not tapped into the truth of our divinity, there is the possibility of continued brainwashing. I have been asked thousands of times, how do I rest and work so I can make a living? Or I would love to rest more, but I have bills. How is it possible? I have been presented with a desperate question by so many exhausted people, and it speaks to the crisis we are in as a culture. Capitalism was created on plantations. The roots of it are violence and theft. We as a culture gloss over this historical truth. But to divide into the cracks of this reality is where a profound part of your deprogramming from grind culture resides. To understand and meditate on this truth may place us all in a space of grief. We must grieve. Rest supports our grieving by allowing space, and with space, we can begin healing from the trauma of grind culture. Grieving is a sacred act and one of the ways we can begin to reconnect with our bodies as we craft a rest practice. Capitalism has cornered us in such a way that we only can comprehend two options. One, work at a machine level from a disconnected and exhausted place, or two, make space for rest and space to connect with our highest selves while fearing how we will eat and live. This rigid binary, combined with the violent reality of poverty, keeps us in a place of sleep deprivation and constant hustling to survive. The work of liberation from these lies resides in our deprogramming and tapping into the power of rest, and in our ability to be flexible and subversive. There are more than two options. The possibilities are infinite, although living under a capitalist system is to be confronted with a model of scarcity. This space makes you falsely believe there is not enough for everything. Not enough money, not enough care, not enough love, not enough attention, not enough peace, not enough connection, not enough time. There is abundance. The desperate and valid question of how can I rest if I have to pay bills is the beating heart of this work. It is evidence of the trauma endured by the hands of grind culture and evidence of our need to reimagine rest. Resting as a form of resistance will be part of a lifelong unraveling, a mind shift, a slow and consistent practice filled with grace. We must imagine a new way, and rest is the foundation for this invention. We should use every tool we have to constantly repair what grind culture has done to us. We will be disrupting and pushing back against grind culture for a lifetime. This fact should give us hope for the possibilities of a new future. Be inspired and hold the vision of rest close. We must collectively push back against any system that continues to disregard our divinity. To be colonized is to accept and buy into the lie of our worth being connected to how much we get done. Keep repeating to yourself, I am enough now. There is no way around this. We have all participated willingly and unwillingly in the allure of grind culture. We have done this because since birth, we slowly are indoctrinated into the cult of urgency and disconnection via white supremacy culture. All of culture is working in collaboration for us not to rest. And when we do listen to our bodies and take rest, many feel extreme guilt and shame. Embrace knowing that you have been manipulated and scammed by a violent system as powerful evidence. Now, with this knowledge, you can grieve, repair, rest, and heal. We can rejoice for the beauty of a veil being removed. This is the beginning of the new world we can create. So stay here and rest, even for a few minutes each day before leaping into the comfort of intellectualizing this rest work. Resting is an embodied practice and a lifelong unraveling. It is not something that can be trendy, quick, or shallow. Resting is ancient, slow, and connected work that will take hold of you in ways that may be surprising. Let deprogramming from grind culture surprise you. Let your entire being slowly begin to shift. Get lost in rest. Pull up the blankets. Search for softness. And be open to the ways rest will surprise and calm you. I could tell 10,000 stories about moments when I have been filled with exhaustion. So many moments of watching my parents exhausted, my grandparents exhausted. 10,000 stories and examples of moments where my body was pushed to the brink of true damage and true disconnection. I could share with you these tender, quiet moments of me unaware if I could go on because my body and mind were so weary, tired, and pushed to the brink of pure exhaustion. I feel like a legacy of exhaustion resides somewhere in all of us, but specifically resides in the bodies of those who have melanated skin, to those who are descendants of plantation labor and those marginalized. This exhaustion is deep. Sleep deprivation is a public health issue and a spiritual issue. It is a spiritual issue for a few reasons. We have been trained to believe that everything we accomplish is because of our own pushing alone. This is false because there is a spiritual dimension that exists in all things and in everything we do. To understand that we are spiritual beings navigating life in a material world opens us to the possibilities of rest as a spiritual practice. Our entire living is a spiritual practice. Much of our resistance to rest, sleep, and slowing down is an ego problem. You believe you can and must do it all because of our obsession with individualism and our disconnection to spirituality. Nothing we accomplish in life is totally free of the influence of spirit and community. We do nothing alone. I am clearly stating that to center rest, naps, sleep, slowing down, and leisure in a capitalistic, white supremacist, ableist, patriarchal world is to live as an outlier. A pilgrimage infused with softness, intentionality, and community care. We will not be able to interrupt the machine of grind culture alone. We need each other in more ways than we are allowed to believe. This work is about radical community care. Tenet number two, our bodies are a site of liberation. For us to be more human, returning to our natural state before the lies, terror, and trauma of this system. To be who we were before the terror of white supremacy, capitalism, and patriarchy is the power of resting. To no longer be ravaged by this culture's incessant need to keep going, no matter what, to produce at all costs. This is why we rest. Grieving the reality of being manipulated to believe we are not enough, divine, or valuable outside of our accomplishments and bank account is a central part of our rest work. It is sad and disturbing. I only started to confront and acknowledge the grief present in me and so many others in 2015 when the foundation for the NAP ministry really began to take shape. I understand that many reading this book have never sat with the grief and pain associated with attaching your worth to productivity and money. This fact alone is enough reason to rest. But you cannot simply just tell someone who has been traumatized by capitalism since birth to consistently lay down and rest without addressing the reality of our brainwashing. When we finally wake up to the truth of what a machine-level pace of labor has done to our physical bodies, our self-esteem, and our spirits, the unraveling begins. As I have counseled people who have extreme desire to slow down and rest, I have witnessed the subtle and bold ways grind culture has swallowed us whole. Being a parent has opened my eyes up to the ways grind culture successfully begins its socialization of fear and urgency. Even before my son was born, the medical industry was rushing him out of my womb. During my pregnancy, the doctor was obsessed with how large my son might possibly be. In my 8th month, their concern sent me to a specialist to receive an intensive ultrasound to rule out twins. I already knew I wasn't having twins, and correctly predicted his gender. I knew he might be a larger baby because I am 6 feet tall and my entire family, including both parents, were over 6 feet tall. All the women in my family had larger babies. I shared this history with my doctor, but like many in the medical system, she didn't listen. On my last appointment, 4 days before his due date, she signaled that I would have to have a C-section because she was unsure I could deliver such a large baby. She also shared that the largest baby she delivered had complications that she is now fighting in court because a lawsuit was filed. In her words, "Let's just get him out now." I was mortified and pleaded with her to let me try to labor. I told her that he would not be 9 or 10 pounds like the scan showed. I responded with a deep confidence, "He will be 8 pounds. I know this in my spirit." And in a rushed and urgent tone, she said no, and I would be delivering that evening via C-section. I was crushed and went home crying as I prepared to make my way to the hospital to give birth. Once there, I had a successful C-section. And when they put him on the scale, he weighed 8 pounds and 0 ounces, exactly as I had predicted. The doctor was shocked and kept repeating, "You knew." What struck me about this experience is the deep ways in which capitalism was given full power to control and drive my son's entrance into the world. Grind culture has taken over every facet of our lives. The real fear of what could happen if we step into the unknown is crafted by capitalism and its cult of busyness and productivity. We are wrapped in a web that feels inescapable and hopeless. Will you trust me and trust your divinity enough to believe it is indeed not hopeless? Can you trust, even for a second, that we can reside in a rested future? I ask for us to walk this road slowly together, lay down together, and collectively care for each other in a way that makes rest possible. Fear, which is a function of grind culture, was able to drive the doctor's thinking, leaving my intuition ignored and the pain and disappointment of an unnecessary cesarean section. The doctor wanted my son out immediately, so that she could move on to her next patient without a lawsuit and the extended time of allowing the labor process to begin naturally. Later, my son left the comfort of our slow-paced home into the public school system, and I began to watch slowly how his voice, connection to his body, and intuition were attacked. In elementary school, students are being trained to be workers who can follow orders, memorize facts, and be on time no matter what. Imagination and critical thinking skills are replaced with cookie cutter learning and standardized testing. I would volunteer in my son's third grade classroom weekly and notice the young children being told, "Hold your pee, bathroom break isn't for another 20 minutes. I watched in horror as an 8-year-old squirmed, attempting to wait the 20 minutes until he could allow his body to relieve itself. The teacher, obviously overwhelmed with a large classroom, continued to ignore his cues, and he eventually used the bathroom on himself. I helped to take him to the bathroom to clean up and walk him to the office so his parents could bring in a change of clothes. This blatant disregard of his body and the unnecessary embarrassment he and other students suffer in public school systems begins the process of learning to ignore the needs of your body. The brainwashing starts here. The removal of physical education, recess, and nap time from public schools is more evidence of a culture unconcerned with space, connection, and slowing down. This ongoing socialization and manipulation by the systems that become internalized, and we become the agents of grind culture. Many people believe grind culture is this pie in the sky monster directing our every move. When in reality, we become grind culture. We are grind culture. Grind culture is our everyday behaviors, expectations, and engagements with each other and the world around us. We have been socialized, manipulated, and indoctrinated by everything in culture to believe the lies of grind culture. In order for a capitalist system to thrive, our false beliefs in productivity and labor must remain. We have internalized its teaching and become zombie-like in spirit and exhausted in body. So we push ourselves and each other under the guise of being hyperproductive and efficient. From a very young age, we begin the slow process of disconnecting from our body's need to rest and are praised when we work ourselves to exhaustion. We tell our children to stop being lazy when they aren't participating in work culture with the same intensity as us. We lose empathy for ourselves first and push excessively. We become managers, teachers, and leaders who fall prey to the allure of a capitalist system and treat those who have the honor of working with as human machines. We become rigid and impatient when our checklist isn't completed to perfection. We become less human and less secure. We believe we are only meant to survive and not thrive. We see care as unnecessary and unimportant. We believe we really don't have to rest. We falsely believe work guarantees success in a capitalist system. I have been told this constantly for as long as I can remember. On nights when I work two jobs, still unable to pay my bills on time or save, I continue to tell myself, burn the midnight oil, keep working hard, go to college, find a third job and a side hustle. I clearly remember the moment it clicked for me how a capitalist, patriarchal, ableist, anti-Black system could never make space for the success I wanted for myself. The success grind culture props up centers constant labor, material wealth, and overworking as a badge of honor. Resting is about the beginning process of undoing trauma so that we can thrive and evolve back to our natural state, a state of ease and rest. We are meant to survive and ultimately thrive because we are divine. All of culture is in collaboration for us not to rest. This includes K-12 public education, higher education, faith and religious denominations, medical industry, and not-for-profits, activist organizations, corporations. Even those who claim to be part of the wellness industry are pushing, hustling, grinding, capitalism, girl boss competition, and co-opting the work of indigenous practices for clout and money. I believe academia is the headquarters for grind culture, and it is a full circle moment that the energy and idea for the Knapp Ministry came to me while I was suffering from exhaustion in a graduate school program. Our everyday behaviors and false beliefs about productivity drive us into behaving in a robotic, machine-like way. The way we hold ourselves and others to the lie of urgency is white supremacy culture, and we will never be able to rest or be liberated from oppression while we are honoring and aligning with it. Liberation and oppression cannot occupy the same space. It's not possible. We must go slow and place intention at the forefront of disruption. This work is not simply a reminder to rest, but a full interruption and turning towards a rested future. This is political work that it is unafraid to step into the light of our dark shared history that is recreating itself through our individualistic and disconnected disillusion of what is really happening to us when we don't rest deeply. Our liberation is deeply connected to the portal of healing we can tap into when we rest. Wherever our bodies are, we can find rest, ease, and liberation. Part of our decolonizing resides in reprogramming from our brainwashing about rest as a divine right. We are divine, our bodies are divine, and a site of liberation. Wherever our bodies are, we can find, snatch, and center rest. Tenet number three, naps provide a portal to imagine, event, and heal. This work is a battle cry for being sick and tired of capitalism and white supremacy. A resting place, an alternative and temporary place of joy and freedom. The way both systems view human bodies is evil and unsustainable. No one is being seen clearly within them and instead is viewed as less than human and a machine to be used, abused, and overlooked. This is a meditation on rest as resistance. This is a meditation on rest as reparations. This is a reverberation for my ancestors. May my deeds in this life please them. May the bass of drums shake liberation from trees. May you join us as we rest. The NAP ministry is for resistance and for the softening. The rest is resistance message is for us to hold in our hands, hug while we sleep, and lay down as we think about all the ways our bodies can hold space for liberation. Resting our bodies and minds is a form of reverence. When we honor our bodies via rest, we are connecting to the deepest parts of ourselves. We are freedom making. What stories are we holding deep inside that are untold and uncovered because we are too exhausted? This rest work is holding space for our memories, our micro histories, and all the things that make us human. The idea of rest as resistance and rest as reparations can be challenging to distill in a few lines when I am asked to do a quick take. It's counterintuitive to believe rest to be not a place to waste time, but instead a generative place of freedom and resistance. We have never learned this in our culture. The thought of not doing, even for a short time, is seen as lazy and unproductive. So an explanation for rest as a form of justice is layered and nuanced. I have learned that one of the most concise and true ways to share the message of rest is to say, rest makes us more human. It brings us back to our humanness. To be more human, to be connected to who and what we truly are, is at the heart of our rest movement. Since the beginning of developing the NAP ministry, I have repeated, this is about more than naps, over and over again. I've done this because I realize that it's too easy for us as a culture to attempt to engage with this work from a quick surface level. Social media makes it so seductive to quickly scroll and feel a high from the media presented. It allows for an engagement that lacks depth, slow study, and embodiment. The memes on our page, or what I like to call propaganda messages, are one of the many tools I use to lay a foundation for us to deprogram from grind culture. But there is always an incomplete understanding when you are engaging on social media, because it has been created to be an extension of capitalism. The designers of the platforms want us there all day scrolling, spending money, and absorbing messages in a fast-paced, disconnected manner. To truly grasp the heart of the message, we will have to put down our phones and laptops and rest. We will have to take an intense look at the ways in which grind culture has traumatized us and then begin the lifelong process of healing from this trauma. This work is about more than simply naps and sleep. It is a full unraveling from the grips of our toxic understanding of our self-worth as divine human beings, Grieving in this culture is not done and is seen as a waste of time because grieving is a powerful place of reverence and liberation. A grieving person is a healed person. Can you guess why our culture does not want a healed person in it? You are worthy of rest. You don't have to earn rest. Rest is not a luxury, a privilege, or a bonus we must wait for once we are burned out. I hear so many repeat the myth of rest being a privilege, and I understand this concept and still deeply disagree with it. Rest is not a privilege because our bodies are still our own, no matter what the current systems teach us. The more we think of rest as luxury, the more we buy into the systematic lies of grind culture. Our bodies and spirits do not belong to capitalism, no matter how it is theorized and presented. Our divinity secures this, and it is our right to claim this boldly. I'm not grinding ever. I trust the Creator and my ancestors to always make space for my gifts and talents without needing to work myself into exhaustion. When we can begin to tap into the deep vessel of who we truly are, so many things would end about oppression. I believe the powers that be don't want us rested because they know that if we rest enough, we are going to figure out what is really happening and overturn the entire system. Exhaustion keeps us numb, keeps us zombie-like, and keeps us on their clock. Overworking and the trauma of burnout continues to degrade our divinity. Once we know and remember we are divine, we will not participate and allow anything into our hearts and minds that is not loving and caring. We would treat ourselves and each other like the tender and powerful beings that we are. When I say sleep helps you wake up, it helps you wake up to the truth of who and what you are. And the system doesn't want that. It would crumple under the weight of this power. Things I know for sure that continue to help me focus on resting. It's my body, my cells, my skin, my heart, my breath. Therefore, I will lovingly center it as the site of my deepest freedom and care. I don't belong to the systems. They cannot have me. I will never donate my body to a system that views it as only a tool for its production. I need you to begin to slowly feel this and to declare that the systems can't have you. It will take deep work, but it's imaginative and beautiful work that will be a lifelong process. I am grateful we have a lifetime and our healing needs not to be rushed and urgent. We have a lifetime. We can go slow. We can go deep. We can go into the cracks. Get up today and tomorrow and think to yourself, when and where can I find a moment of rest? You can plot and plan for 10 minutes at your desk, 30 minutes of weekend napping, or 1 minute of resting your eyes. Keep pondering and making space for the time to detox from technology. Listen, what day will you be able to remove one app from your phone in an effort to retain expansiveness for yourself? How will you be able to one day say no to a request that doesn't serve you? To build firm yet caring boundaries that teach us all the meaning of community care. All these things are a form of rest. Can you find ways to get outdoors in nature, to sky gaze, to ground your feet in the grass, to connect with the land since the land needs healing also? Staring out of the windows on public trains and buses saved my sanity during the height of my exhaustion. White supremacy and capitalism have been using bodies for evil for centuries. They violently push literal bone-crushing labor while ignoring any limits. The body, to those agents of grind culture, is not a divine dwelling and instead a vehicle for profit. Dragging my tired body out onto the streets to walk to the bus stop on my way to an underpaid 40-plus-hour job week. I then would just stare out the window of the moving train, gaining a moment of peace and calm. I connected with the sky, watched the movement of the trees, possibly spotting a favorite bird. Those moments intensely settled my spirit. While I was living these moments, I just knew I felt better. The opportunity to breathe deeply while resting my eyes became a lifeline. I know now that these were moments of rest. I was able to pull back my mind from the grind and settle into my pure existence to just be and to reclaim my body as my own. The ministry started while I was daydreaming, napping, and slowing down because my body and my ancestors told me so. The idea of living in a world but not being part of it is a long-held tradition taught to me by my ancestors. My grandparents and parents lived it daily, and I grew up in Sunday school singing congregational songs with lyrics like, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it to me. The world can't take it away. I am grateful for this politics of refusal and of listening to what we know to be true. It is risk-taking to do the opposite of what the dominant culture wants. Our work is to slowly and deeply cultivate an expansive inner knowing that trusts our intuition and views rest as a physical and psychological disruption. We can bend time when we rest, and I'm grateful for slowness and the embodied work of refusal. The way taking your time and disrupting the dominant culture's need to rush is liberation. To just be into what already is and can never be taken from us is the praxis. We don't need to have our eyes and mouths wide open, searching to accomplish more, to be more, to do more. Grind culture has normalized pushing our bodies to the brink of destruction. We proudly proclaim showing up to work or an event despite an injury, sickness, or mental break. We are praised and rewarded for ignoring our body's need for rest, care, and repair. The cycle of grinding like a machine continues and becomes internalized as the only way. We are made new when we enter the portal of NEPS. I want you to firmly plant yourself inside your imagination. Take refuge in the beauty and power of community care and our daydreaming. We can build, rest, and usher in a new way that centers liberation and care. No matter what the system continues to do, rest is a portal, silence is a pillow, Sabbath our lifeline, pausing our compass. Go get your healing, be disruptive, push back, slow down, take a nap. Silence and slowness have always inspired my practice as an artist. The role of the artist is to make new things and to resurrect. I am obsessed with community resurrection and individual resurrection. Wherever spirit is, healing can happen. I'm inspired by invention and the opportunity to craft something new from scratch. I'm interested in remixing. I'm inspired by grief, mourning, and lament. I feel like these places are vulnerable and generative spaces for healing. The states of being must be protected. A reckoning must happen. The NAP ministry is a meditation on rest as resistance. It shines a light directly on the power of dismantling the toxic systems that create trauma and terror in our bodies and souls. We center rest as a means for healing and liberation. We believe sleep deprivation is a racial and social justice issue. We must be able to sit with this deep truth. America is not a welcoming place to all bodies. America was built on the backs of Black and Indigenous people who labored without rest for centuries as the country built its economic power. White supremacy became a vehicle to poison the hearts and minds of an entire nation to view human beings as less than divine. Rest is resistance because it is counter-narrative to the script of capitalism and white supremacy for all people. Resting is a connection and a path back to our true nature. We are stripped down to who we really were before the terror of capitalism and white supremacy. We say no to the systems that see us simply as machines. We resist the lie that we are not enough. We are enough. We are divine. Our bodies don't belong to these toxic systems. We know better. Our spirits know better. Rest meditation practice. Sit in a chair with your back upright and your feet firmly planted on the floor. Recline in a chair, on a bed, on a couch, in a hammock, on the floor. Scan your body and recognize any tension. Breathe deep. Imagine a world without limits. Inhale deeply from your belly. Hold for 4 seconds. Exhale slowly. Repeat. Tenet 4. Our dream space has been stolen and we want it back. We will reclaim it via rest. There has been a robbery. Dream space theft. Our dream space has been stolen and we want it back. Each step I take, a hand from my ancestors reaches up to hold my feet, holds me close to lay me down. Reciprocity, our salvation. We will prepare a sacred space for you to rest. We want to wrap ourselves in a blanket made of hope. We will rest. Joy is our birthright. Pleasure is our balm. Rest is our resistance. Social media is robbing us of the archives and memories, taking from us the ability to go to the past for guidance, motivation, and grounding. This rest movement is not a trend and is instead the ancient work of liberation. To frame rest as something Black people are finally reclaiming is to erase the history of so many of my ancestors and those living today who have consistently seen rest as an important part of living and resistance. Audre Lorde, Alice Walker, Harriet Tubman, my grandmother Ora, my mother Jean, the freedom writers during the civil rights movement. There is nothing new about Black death, anti-Blackness, and oppression. These are things as old as time, and to not see things in totality is causing more trauma. When I think about the history of the transatlantic slave trade, chattel slavery, and plantation labor, I am stunned by how much we have chosen to forget that capitalism was built from these systems. An experimentation in how to push a human body to a machine-level pace for centuries, led by white people dizzy with hate and brainwashed by a system that trained them to look at a divine human body as property to be owned. This fact by itself is why I will never donate my body to this system and why I navigate my life from a politics of refusal and resistance. My consciousness and spirit will not allow me to align myself with a system that still owes a debt to my ancestors. I personally find it disrespectful and of utter disregard to allow me myself to be boldly and proudly grinding my body into a state of exhaustion. It stops with me. I landed at a place of radical faith and a let the chips fall where they may attitude when I began experimenting with rest in 2013 during my first year of divinity school. This personal experience became the Nat ministry we see today. The more I studied the voices and stories of my ancestors and went head and body first into listening and communicating with them, I simply could not even begin to recreate the brutality they suffered at the hands of the labor they were forced to participate in on plantations. I vividly remember reading the book Slave Testimony, 2 centuries of letters, speeches, interviews, and autobiographies by John W. Blasingame for 6 months while in graduate school. I would lay on the couch with this massive collection of archival history and feel rage and power reliving the daily lives of an enslaved person. The story of Madison Jefferson, born and enslaved in Virginia, as a house servant who was interviewed in 1841 while living in England. He was a field hand and herder on a plantation with 250 other enslaved people who cultivated tobacco, corn, and hemp. The stories he told of his brother dying while being forced to work in the fields with a head injury rattled me and made me think about all the times capitalism calls for us to ignore our pain and health for the sake of being on the clock. I recalled the trauma of a former boss telling me to come into work after I was in a car accident that sent me to the emergency room with a pinched nerve in my shoulder. In his words, if you could just muster up the energy to come in for a few hours. Jefferson goes on in his interview to give details that centered and filled me with rage and empathy in a way I have never experienced before. He recalls a story of receiving 50 lashes for attempting to run away and was chained and placed in a dark dungeon only to be unchained to work in the fields. As described by Blasingame, the hours of labor were from daylight till dark regularly, and during busy times, they were frequently at work 2 hours before the day. Sunday was generally considered a day of rest, but they were frequently employed during the whole of that day in binding wheat, taking up hemp, stemming tobacco and corn. They breakfasted generally at 9 o'clock, from hour and a half to an hour being allowed, according to the pressure of work. In ordinary time, they had a dinner hour and a meal in the evening. But when busy, were only allowed 2 meals, getting an ear of corn or something of that kind in the middle of the day while pursuing their tasks. On the whole, the allowance was very scanty. Frequently, Madison says, I have cried for hunger after coming from work, and I've seen my brothers and sisters crying round mother for food, and she having none to give them. The legacy of brutality surrounding labor, sustenance, and survival for those enslaved on plantations and their descendants is striking, and why I uplift sleep deprivation as a justice issue. Grind culture is a collaboration between capitalism and white supremacy. Capitalism is from the plantation. Our current system of labor was made from this paradigm. Knowing this shifted me and must be acknowledged as part of our deprogramming process from grind culture. It is a painful realization, but one we must confront to find our way to healing. What does it feel like to hold this knowledge and to understand that you are unconsciously and consciously participating in a system that has its foundation in viewing human bodies as non-human machines? What is grind culture doing to our spiritual, mental, and physical health? How does it feel to know your human body is viewed by a capitalist and ableist culture as existing only to make profit? For us to not view our own bodies or the bodies of others as a divine dwelling, the site of liberation and a miracle, is to bow down to the dominant, oppressive culture. We must see our bodies as a miracle and a place of reverence, where existing in exhaustion is not normal or acceptable. The beauty of resting knows that we are blessed to have a body, to be chosen to be alive, to breathe, to make choices, and to proclaim that our bodies are our own, is a deep practice in care. It is the beginning of a revolution, radical, and a resistance. Restance Resistance is a manifesto on the origins of the NAP ministry, including the main tenets of the Rest is Resistance movement. The next section of the book will cover 4 parts, each a direct call to action. Rest, dream, resist, imagine. Storytelling and history, and informed by my deep experience in theology, activism, and performance art, it is the story of my ancestors, my muses, my family, my community, and all that inspired the founding of the NAP ministry. It is to place into the archives that this work started with me trying to save my own life, while basking in the sweetness and power of my ancestors' lives. It's inspired by American Maroons who decided they would never be enslaved on plantations, my grandmother's vegetable garden, my mother's paintings, intergenerational wisdom, kitchen hairstylist, altars constructed outdoors to honor the dead, family reunion t-shirts, art outside the walls of museums, Gwendolyn Brooks, Audre Lorde, bell hooks, James Cone, James Baldwin, Octavia Butler, my granny Aura, who rested her eyes on the couch, Black women, protesters, the Black church, Black healing music, womanism, my daddy, and to the ancestors' names I don't know. It is a tenderness, a remixing. Rest is a miracle. The following invocation has been spoken over the tired bodies of thousands of people who have attended our collective napping experiences in person and virtually. A transmission to open the portal of rest. The doors of the Nap Temple are open. Won't you come? This is an invitation for the weary souls to rest. This is resistance. This is a protest. This is a counter narrative to the lie that we aren't all doing enough. We are enough. This is a counter narrative to the lie that our worth is tied to the grind of capitalism and the lie of white supremacy. You are enough simply by being alive. Thank you for living. Thank you for resisting. Thank you for creating. Thank you for dreaming. Thank you for resting. We believe that our healing can visit us while we are napping, while we are resting, while we are sleeping, while we are slowing down. We believe that naps provide a dream envisioning space to invent, to create, to heal, to imagine. This is what resistance looks like. Won't you come? This is resistance. This is a protest.